Hello, my name is Lance Secretan. I'm going to read you the preface of my new book, The Bellwether Effect. I've been wandering around this planet for a while. After building a very successful company from scratch into a global enterprise of 72,000 full and part-time employees, I retired. Then I wrote a book about our 14-year odyssey and taught budding entrepreneurs in an advanced university graduate program until I realized the university wasn't the real world at all. I think Dr. Henry Kissinger knew this when he said, "University politics makes me long for the simplicity of the Middle East." Within the academic community, the book wasn't a roaring success because it tilted windmills, but it became a bestseller in the business community and thus began my consulting career. In the 35 years since, I've worked with, mentored, and coached thousands of leaders in hundreds of organizations, and I've seen some truly brilliant things. I've also seen some really ineffective things. I've been astonished to watch discouraging things happening in organizations that cause poor morale, low performance, political intrigue, toxic cultures, and ineffectiveness. The Bellwether Effect is written for all managers and leaders, the vast majority of whom are well-intentioned, who strive daily to achieve good and successful outcomes, to create inspiring places to work and companies with whom to do business that are respectful of people and the environment and are high-performing in all of the important metrics while making a useful and sustainable contribution to the planet. I call this higher ground leadership, an overarching theory of leadership grounded in conscious behavior, to which I will frequently refer in the pages that follow. My life's work has been dedicated to bringing greater consciousness into the workplace, teaching leaders that inspiration is a higher order of thinking that will inform our leadership in the achievement of new potential. But in working closely with leaders, I've come to realize that before we can introduce and achieve higher ground leadership or create the kinds of work environments that are deeply inspiring, we must first remove the business processes that are deeply uninspiring. In his book, The Inner Game of Work, Coach Timothy Galway has shown us that all individuals and organizations have the potential, P, to achieve high levels of performance, HP, but too often interference, I, in the form of obsolete business practices or emotional interference, demotivates us and puts sand in our gears. We can write the equation like this. High performance equals potential minus interference, or HP equals P minus I. Potential and interference are closely related. We just need to introduce them in the right order. First, we need to remove interfering and demoralizing business processes that are a barrier to inspiration so that we can then concentrate on building great organizations that inspire. I've observed in my travels that there are 8 old-fashioned, ineffective business practices and beliefs that have become embedded in the corporate mindset and that collectively present a formidable barrier to creating high-performance organizations. Besides the noble art of getting things done, there is also the noble art of removing things that add no value. Often it is necessary to remove things in order to achieve things. We need to take away some redundant and hindering business practices so that we can add more modern approaches that inspire. Doing so could change everything. The most frequent response from people with whom I've shared early versions of the manuscript of this book has been, "Only 8? Really? Let me give you a few more," or words to that effect. I admit there are probably more, but I chose what I found to be the big 8 during my career as an advisor to corporations and their leaders. However, if I were to add a 9th counterproductive or destructive thing that companies do to the list, it would be hubris, the sin of overweening pride or arrogance. The inflated sense that some leaders have of themselves, their certainty of being right, and their inflated assessment of their skills, knowledge, and value can sometimes be breathtaking. And the data shows that this is a major cause of corporate failure. More humility in leadership would be a blessing, as it would lead to greater openness to fresh thinking about leadership, a subject to which I will return later, and particularly in the afterword. In each chapter of this book, I've not only described the counterproductive business processes, but also their antidote, what we would do differently in a more inspiring way to achieve the good intentions and outcomes we originally had in mind. Nearly one in two employees is unhappy with their job, and the latest global Edelman Trust Barometer reveals the largest ever drop in trust across the institutions of government, business, media, and NGOs, with CEO credibility having dropped 12 points globally to an all-time low of 37%. We have lost our passion for corporate life. During my presentations to audiences, I often ask them this question: what percentage of the population do you think would leave the corporate world and pursue different interests if they had a completely free hand? Like an auctioneer, I start at 50% and the audience will typically raise the offer until we settle at an estimate of something more than 80%. Why is this a tragedy? Because apart from the human anguish and suffering that such a chronic state of discontent causes, we live in a capitalist society, one of whose main engines, besides the church and government, is commerce. And if we botch this critical source of livelihood and exchange, we risk losing everything. So reclaiming our passion for corporate life and reinfusing work with inspiration is not an inconsequential issue. I wrote this book to share what I've learned in order to help the reader to reverse this trend, restore sanity and effectiveness for a frazzled employee population, create inspiring organizations that lift the hearts of people and make a positive difference in the world. And that last part is the most important. As I wrote earlier, the corporation is the most powerful institution in the world, more powerful than politics, more even than the church. It has the reach, resources, intellect, finances, and scale that cannot be matched by any other institution. Apple Inc. has more cash on hand than the GDP of 2/3 of the world's countries. Today, the 10 biggest banks control almost 50% of assets under management worldwide. 3 months after Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva won his landslide victory in Brazil's presidential elections, disappointed corporations drove the currency down by 30%, $6 billion in hot money left the country, and various credit agencies gave Brazil the highest debt risk ratings in the world. "We are in government, but not in power," said Lula's close aide, Dominican friar Frei Beto. Power today is global power, the power of the big companies, the power of financial capital. Therefore, if we want to change the world, the corporation is the most powerful vehicle on earth through which to attain that dream. My hope is that this book will help you to ask some challenging questions about why your organization does things and why they're done in a certain way, and whether there might be better business processes to consider as replacements to your existing ones. If this turns out to be the case, I believe your load will be lightened, your life will be more inspired, and my objective in writing this book will be accomplished.